Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Ray Orbach, Undersecretary for Science and Director of the Office of Science at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation is Steve Sika, IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Leader. Ray, the Department of Energy has played a role in training America's scientists and engineers for more than 50 years. Could you elaborate on your efforts to build the scientific and technical workforce of the future? And to that end, what is the Workforce Development for Teachers and Scientists program, and to what extent does this program create a foundation for DOE's national labs?
We believe that the future of our country, its economy, its intellectual growth, depends on scientific literacy in our country. It depends on young men and women choosing science as a career and then having the ability to pursue their instincts in an unfettered fashion. That's our goal. We use our resources as best we can to achieve that end. We have 17 national laboratories that are run by the Department of Energy. They are contracted with the private sector who actually carries out the functions of those laboratories, but they are repositories of the very finest in basic and applied research in this country. We are sharing those resources with schools, with teachers, with students, encouraging them to become partners in the discovery process that basic science generates at these laboratories. So, for example, our workforce development program will bring middle school teachers to our laboratories for the summer. We'll pay them to come and join a research program. They will have a mentor. They will experience the excitement of discovery that takes place in those laboratories. We will then follow them when they go back to their classroom in the fall. We'll provide a modicum of funds that they can use for scientific equipment, for experiments for their students. And then working with the National Science Foundation, we will bring their students the following year to our laboratory so they too can participate in discovery. This is a three-year program, and you'll notice that we focus on the middle schools. And that's because study after study has convinced us that that's when we lose our students from science. In the elementary school, girls and boys do just as well as one another. But we see young women moving away from science in the middle school years, which are difficult years in the development, human development of both boys and girls. But it's a loss that our country can ill afford. And so we're focusing on the most important period of intellectual growth for our youth and hopefully can keep them involved and interested so that they will follow a scientific or technological career into high school and then ultimately into college.
Ray, it sounds like a great program to give us hope for the future of science. That's terrific. Let me ask you this. As the Director of Office of Science and a distinguished scientist yourself, what's your view of the fields that we might hope to see the most remarkable advances, both in the near term and in the long term?
Those are the six areas that we put our money in. I want the science that the Office of Science funds and supports to be the best in the world. And it has to be the most exciting science that this world can generate. And so those are the criteria. So you will find scientific discovery across the board, but not everywhere, just in those six areas that I laid out before. I believe that dark energy is probably the most important single unknown aspect of our universe, and we are going to find out one way or another what it is and what it tells us about our own future. We're going to go back to the origin of time to find out what caused the Big Bang, what was the Big Bang, what happened right at the moment of creation. Those are the most exciting aspects in high energy physics to which one can refer. And they are of immense intellectual importance for all of us. In the nuclear area, we're interested in those funny things called quarks. What are they? Why can't we see them? Why are they always bound? They're fundamental questions about the nature, literally, of us, of the nuclei that make up our body that we don't understand. In basic energy sciences, you're talking about complex systems, systems that are much too confusing for us to understand, but which are at the basis of life. which are at the basis of materials, which give us hope for the future in terms of an environment that is friendly. In biological world, we are looking at metabolic pathways, at the things that we take for granted in nature. Can we duplicate it? In fusion, I've already talked about the excitement of discovery of can we tame on Earth the forces that are around us and give us life through the sun? And finally, in advanced scientific computation, can we simulate, can we figure out how these very complex materials work? I should say something more. These machines are becoming so powerful that I believe we will see quantitative sociology, psychology, and humanities develop, where in the social science and humanities fields, scholars will ask questions that they've never asked before and have an opportunity to understand how our civilization has developed in ways that have never been possible. Underlying all of this are the new tools that we have available that give us opportunities that mankind has never had before, and in my view are the excitement behind the physical sciences.
Now, Ray, at the risk of putting you on the spot here, I'm going to quote you. You've been known to say that science provides much of our intellectual nourishment. The excitement of discovery persuades not only our psyche but our very language. You've also said that science in the office of science is beautiful. How important do you think these feelings of excitement and inspiration are?
I think they're the essence of what drives us. If you think about art and you think about a painting, you're taught that your eye automatically gravitates to the upper right-hand corner. And so the artist then puts together his painting, his tableau, in such a way that your eye is drawn to that corner. If it's not, you're troubled, and the artist can trouble you by coming up with a painting that makes you feel uneasy. Scientists do the same thing. Scientific discovery is not some set of equations that we know and we write down and we solve and eureka. Scientific discovery is coming up with something completely new. Quite often when we discover things, they're so complex and so cumbersome that we wonder whether they really are true or not. And scientists have a tendency to think that they have finally gotten the answer when it's beautiful, when it's simple, when suddenly they see that all of that complexity can be bottled up in a relatively simple expression or simple structure. It's that aesthetic feeling of simplicity that drives discovery and makes one feel that you have created something. I often say to young people, how many fields in the world can you work in that you have a discovery that is yours, that no one can take away from you? You're the one that figured it out, and everybody else who comes along after knows that. That is so exciting. It's also terribly difficult. More often than not, it's very frustrating where you keep going down wrong paths, and you know they're wrong because in order to explain it, it's too complex. There's something wrong out there. So it's that aesthetic sense of simplicity that I think is behind scientific discovery and which keeps us going, just as exactly as an artist does when they describe their tableau.
Dr. Auerbach, you've had a very interesting and a highly successful vocation within the sciences and as a public servant. What advice would you give to someone who perhaps is thinking about a career in either the sciences or in public service, or perhaps in both?
I view public service as a payback. My own career has been very generously supported by people through their taxes and by our federal government. I view the opportunity of coming to Washington and doing the best job I can as a way of expressing my thanks to this country for the wonderful opportunities it has given me. I would advise young people to get into discovery. It doesn't matter if it's the physical sciences, the mathematics, biological sciences, the science of discovery. It is so exciting, and it has with it a rigor and a process that they will find invaluable in other fields. I would then ask them over time to think about payback, about giving this marvelous country of ours a return on its investment in us. That's the way I view federal service, state service, teaching, local service. Each of us expresses our thanks for the support our country has given us through these vehicles.
That's wonderful advice. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time this morning. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. Steve and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to research and our country.
Well, thank you for the opportunity of expressing my views. You can find out more about us at our website at www.science.doe.gov. And I ask each of you in the listening audience to log in and see what the Office of Science does. And then hopefully join us in this pursuit that we believe is so important for our country.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Raymond Orbach, Undersecretary for Science and Director of the Office of Science at the U.S. Department of Energy. My co-host has been Steve Sika, Federal Civilian Industry Leader at IBM. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.